sleeper. I think today God would just say, awake, O sleepyhead. Amen? And arise from the dead. Amen? And Christ will shine on you. It's just like, if we'll just wake up and make a move, he'll shine on us. Amen? It's not about us begging him to do something. He's just waiting for us to quit acting like we're the living dead. You know? And to start like we're zombies or something. And begin to walk by faith and begin to trust God. And he said, Christ, but then he says this, be careful how you walk. Amen? Be careful how you walk, making the most of your time, for the days are evil. How many of you would agree with that? The days are evil, so you got to make the most of your time. You redeem that time. And then he says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, right? Don't become intoxicated on wine. Can I tell you today, there's a lot more intoxicating things than even booze. There's the intoxication of this world, the cares of this life, and all the other things. I know a lot of people, they don't have any kind of a substance abuse problem, but they got all kinds of other intoxicating problems. Their life is absorbed with that. I've been there. Anybody with me? Been absorbed with something, and what happens is, what is the alternative? Be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Singing and speaking to one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs. Amen? Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And get this, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And one of the things of our gatherings and coming together and paying the price to do that is so important, even like for the camp and things, is just we need the time together. We need to be submitted to one another as a body. And it's very, very life-changing, and we need that, and it's going to help us grow as a church. Everybody say amen. So let's wake up and let's rise up, especially now. I mean, I love to celebrate, I love to bring attention to the Hebrew calendar and what God says in his calendar. But I wanted to say this to the people at ease. Anything that Jesus has fulfilled, and he's fulfilled it all through all the appointed feasts of the Lord, he is the fulfillment. We'll look at that verse in just a moment. Anything that he's fulfilled, you don't have to wait for a particular day on a calendar to get it. Hello? What does the scripture say? Today is the day of salvation. Amen? Today is the day my Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in him. Hallelujah? So it's important that we remember that. Because here's the thing. God's plans and God's thoughts for every one of us are good. Amen? Psalm 139 says his thoughts toward us are good. First of all, it said this. Did I get this? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Then he goes on to say, and your thoughts, he speaks of a book that God has written on you. Amen? He's got a book on you. And most of us are thinking this way, a book of all the things I've done wrong. No, that got nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? But there's a book. There's thoughts. And I love what the psalmist said. He said, the days you've ordained for me, precious are your thoughts toward me. Now, none of you believe that. I mean, God thinks about you, his thoughts are precious. They're good. I mean, a lot of people don't. They don't see God in a relationship that way with them. And then, and vast is the sum of them. And I love this. And when I awake, I am still with you. When I wake up, you're still there. Hallelujah. How many of you found it to be true? I mean, I don't care how sleepy you are. When you wake up, he's still there. Amen? And we all know very well what Jeremiah 29 says. For I know the plans, the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Amen? They're good plans for your welfare, not calamity, to give you a future, to give you a hope. Can I tell you? One thing we misunderstand, that you got to keep reading. Because it says, you'll call upon me, and I will answer you. And you will seek for me, and you will search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you. If you seek God with all of your heart, you find out what's in the book for you. You find out the plan of God for you. That even came forth prophetically today. Irene was praying about that in the pre-service prayer. And so I'm telling you, and I don't share these things, all this stuff about awakening and all. I didn't share any of that with the praise team, and we just went there prophetically. I love it when that happens. And it's just powerful the way God wants to do that. I think he wants to get our attention. Amen. I love the story in Luke's gospel where it says Jesus went into the synagogue. And it was his custom to stand up and read from the scriptures. And when he did, by the way, this is in his hometown. And so he stood up to read from the scriptures and they handed him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He probably smiled and, oh boy, there's some good stuff in here. He took the book of the prophet Isaiah and he opened it up and he said, "The Spirit, y'all know it, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Amen? And basically, you could sum it up in this, to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen? to, he has sent me to proclaim, let us say proclaim, release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, amen, and to set free those who are oppressed, hallelujah. And I love this, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he basically was proclaiming Jubilee. Amen, that is what Jubilee is, the year of favor. He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant. Y'all with me? Everybody in the synagogue is looking at him. Is that all you need to say? He just said everything right there. And he said why he came. He said it right there. And they're all watching him. He sits down. And while they're all looking at him, he says this. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. It had to be proclaimed. Amen? And if you want to reset, you have to proclaim it. If you want the promise in your life, you've got to open your mouth and speak it. Amen? For the spirit of faith says, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I speak. And when you speak it, it loses something. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He came to proclaim favor, to proclaim Jubilee. Now, they've been celebrating Jubilees every 50 years. Strictly on the calendar, every 50 years. But Jesus came when it wasn't Jubilee and declared it was Jubilee. Did you know that? He wasn't waiting for this particular, oh, I got to get home, this is Jubilee. No. He began because he was always the substance of everything else was figurative and a type of who he was. Amen? Say with me, you're going to understand this because I tell you, God wants to lose something in us today. But can I tell you, he didn't just minister for a year, did he? He ministered for 3.5 years. And if you understand the Bible, he's been ministering ever since through his servants, his body, for the last 2,000 years. So it certainly wasn't a calendar year. But it set something in motion to live in perpetual Jubilee. Hallelujah. You can live in a perpetual Jubilee. I love to pray. I try to remember every day just to say, Lord, I thank you that you're my Jubilee. And this is my year of Jubilee. I just start a new year every day. Are y'all with me? A Jubilee, because it's a perpetual Jubilee. And I love to celebrate Jesus and all the appointed feasts, those appointed times of God. It's so fun to look at Jesus in them and see the power of what is in those feasts. And maybe in the weeks to come, I might share some more thing about these fall feasts of the Lord that are coming up. But here's the thing, it helps us to remember. Now, let me say this about remembrance. Remembrance is very, very powerful, but remembrance is not reminiscing. Remembrance is remembering a testimony, and a testimony is prophecy, right? So you remember for the purpose of saying, hold on a minute. What did David say? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of his benefits. It was like he would remind himself of God's forgiveness, of God's healing, of God's redemptive power from the pit of destruction. And he would, in a sense, rehearse all the goodness of God with the words of his mouth, blessing the Lord for these things. Amen? It's the most powerful way for you to get healed and stay healed is to start opening your mouth. Amen? Because any of us used to be quiet. And I'll tell you today, guys, we were praying Friday night, and the Lord has shown me something earlier in the week. I didn't even know I was going to put it in today's message for sure. But God has been to show me we can't be a people that lick our wounds. We need to get healed. Amen? And I'll tell you, that's what God wants us to do. It's time to remember things and get into faith. Now, in the book of Colossians, Paul describes, if you want to turn to Colossians 2, we're going to look at a verse there. Paul describes in Colossians something very, very powerful. He talks about the cross. He talks about how all these things that were hostile toward you and me were nailed to the cross in Jesus, right? We all believe and know that. But he talks about also how in that victory on the cross that he disarmed all the rulers and the powers. And not only that, he made a show of them openly. He openly embarrassed the enemy. Even though anybody else would look at the cross and say, how embarrassing. And yet that was the very thing that was defeating the enemy. How many glad he went to the cross for you? Amen? Hallelujah. And then Paul says, after he makes that clear, the victory and triumph of Christ, then the Apostle Paul says, therefore. In other words, and I want you to look there with me at verse 16 of Colossians chapter 2. Therefore, in other words, get this now, beloved. After this sacrifice, after the triumph, now we're all new covenant people now, right? Look what it says. No one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, that'd be like a feast day, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. Get this now. things which are a mere what? Shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. Do y'all see that? Everything, guys, everything we read in the Old Testament was pointing to Jesus. It was pointing to Jesus. Every experience was pointing to Jesus. As powerful as the Jewish Passover was, it was always about the Lord's table. It was always pointing us to the greater power and the better covenant. Amen? Amen? And that's not to disrespect anybody else in their experience, but everything is summed up in Christ. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Don't people judge you about how you celebrate an ancient feast. You better see Jesus in that feast. Because that's where the power is. Amen? Otherwise, we're just reminiscing an event and not having an experience. I'm tired of reminiscing events. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? Now, let me read it to you in the Amplified. Just listen to this. Therefore, let no one judge you in regard to food and drink, or in regard to the observance of a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. Such things are only a shadow of what is to come. What's up to come? And they have only symbolic value. But the substance, the reality of what was foreshadowed belongs to Christ. Isn't that good? It's good to look at some of these other study help translations like the Amplified and the Passion. It draws out some things to help us kind of better understand. Jubilee was a time of returning. It was a time of where everybody that was enslaved was set free. It was a time when everybody who had lost their lands and their possessions got them back. Anybody like a Jubilee? I'm serious. All indebtedness was supernaturally eradicated. There was truly a financial blessing reset at Jubilee. It was like a reset. How many would like one of those? Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, but how many know it spoke to more than just finances? It spoke to every area of your life. Amen? You got a reset because you became born again. Amen? You didn't need to get forgiven to go try again. You got born again. Amen? And so it was a total divine reset. And God's good intentions and plans for us, anytime a Jubilee is established, His plans and intentions are ready for you now to start to walk in them. Amen? And I believe God's getting ready to shake up this church to begin to walk in what we're supposed to be running in. Amen? Hallelujah. Like any new season or any appointed time, Jubilees, with anything else, had to be announced. They had to be proclaimed. Because the promise of Jubilee is, or any blessing you're believing for, is fulfilled in our hearing. Let me say my hearing. So what do we say? This is the day the Lord has made. So today is the day of salvation, right? He said, I want you to go to them and tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. You might go, well, how can I do that? By the way, with your mouth. You declare it. Amen? And it sets something in motion, because remember, for them, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are y'all getting this? Your mouth gives voice to the truth. Amen? And then, of course, faith comes, as we said. But can I tell you, because I'm learning this in my life, if I don't open my mouth, my heart won't open. But when I open my mouth, whether it be in song, in prayer, crying out, needing help, prophesying, my heart opens to that thing. Are y'all with me? Amen? It gets even better. The angels respond to the voice of His word. I love it with scriptures on the wall. I think that's cool. But angels don't find a building with scriptures on the wall and read it and say, okay, let's go do this. They respond to the voice of the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you with me? It's the time of the Feast of Trumpets. And everything we were having prophetically in worship this morning was wake our soul. Awaken. Wake up. Because that's what trumpets do. Amen? How many of you, your alarm kind of startles you when it goes off? Man, mine is like, woo, DEFCON 5. Man, I'm like, oh, I hate it. I hate the sound of it. But I know if there's anything less, I wouldn't wake up. But I usually wake up before my alarm. I can honestly say that. I think that's part of aging. But anyway, I used to have to be shaken up. But now that I've gotten older, I wake up before my alarm. You with me, brother? Not that you're my age, but you might know that. But anyway, Susan sets an alarm on her phone to take a little bit of blood pressure she takes. But she's got it so loud. And it'll go off sometime, and she's not in the room with me. I'm in the room with her alone. Are y'all with me? And I can't open her phone because I have the face recognition thing. I tried to look like her, and, you know, it wouldn't work. And I say, this thing is so loud. It's just startlingly loud. But anyway, and, you know, I love my wife. She's wonderful. Hallelujah. She's next door ministering to your children. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And, anyway, awake my soul. Amen. I told you last week, we shared from about Isaiah had a prophecy that said this. He said, I will send you to come and be a covenant with them or for them and get to make them inherit their desolate heritages. To make them inherit. How many, a desolate heritage, you mean that's part of your inheritance that nobody's doing anything with it. Amen? Remember I shared that with you last week. And part of the anointing of the Lord upon our lives is to cause us to begin to contend for and try to pick up against some things that have not been in the church or in our church or in our life or experience or in our family. Whatever it may be. Amen? And to be able to inherit those desolate heritages. I asked you last Sunday, I said, you want to research your heritage, church? Then go back and start reading the book of Acts. Amen? That's not just church history. That's your heritage. Amen? How many of you get it? There are some cool things in there. And I started doing it. I just started doing it from the aspect of not as a Bible teacher, because I used to teach Acts at the Bible college, and I love teaching it. But I started to read it to say, Lord, what are we missing out on? That they were walking in from day one. They were walking. Of course, they had the apostles that walked with Christ leading them. Right? But still, they, you know, we see our inheritance. And there was a particular verses in chapter 5 this week that just gripped my heart. And I thought, why not believe for this? Can I read them to you? Turn to Acts 5, verse 14. Say, my inheritance. Come on, say it. My inheritance. Hallelujah. Now look at this with me. Look at Acts 5, beginning with verse 14. Now listen to this description. All the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, when I say multitudes, were constantly being added to their number to such an extent that they carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets so that Peter, the apostle, could come by and at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. Wow. Come on, guys. We're walking such an anointing that you left to get in your car in the morning and sick people were laying in your yard. Because they heard you got something on your life that's so strong. Are y'all with me? Hallelujah. Also, the people from the cities, get this now, in the vicinity of Jerusalem. They were saying the vicinity of Mesa. In the vicinity of Jerusalem. We're in Mesa now, right? We keep moving around. Tempe, Mesa, right? We're coming together, get this, bringing people who were what? Sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were, what's the next word? Being healed. Is anybody ready for that? I'm serious. Does anybody want to contend for that? This is our, frankly, our desolate heritage. We've got to contend for it again. Now I know, we've seen some signs of movements of God, revivals, breakouts of God's power here and there. Amen? To some degree. I'm not saying there's not been any power or anybody being added to the church. But I will say this. I believe God wants all of his church, his true church, to be known for these things. I really do. I believe he wants us to be known for these things. Not just an individual faith evangelist. But the church is known. Again, for that. Amen? As a people, as a place, how about this, where people come in and everybody gets set free? How about that? How about a place where people come in and everybody gets healed? Hallelujah. And of course, where multitudes are constantly being added to our number. I've asked you to help us and pray with us about our next space that we're going to try to negotiate for, a space of our own. We're not going to be mobile and all of that. And we're going to start actually looking at some stuff this week. But I want to tell you, I don't want to have small thinking either. I hope it gets to the point where I have to approach the landlord and say, hey, we can't stay here anymore. This don't get it anymore. That's right. Are y'all with me? To believe that the Lord's adding. It's not about just being big. It's not about a me. Or it's not about our reputation. It's about growing the kingdom of God, expanding the kingdom of God in the earth. Amen? There's a lot of harvest in this city, and I want a piece of it for the glory of God. Anybody with me? Why were these things written in the Word of God? They were written so we would believe it, but also so we proclaim it and start to run with it. Amen. That's why. You remember Habakkuk said, "I will position myself on the wall before the Lord, and I will see what the Lord will say to me." And then we know, I know the story. The Lord says, "Record the vision, write it down, and make it plain." Everybody say, "Make it plain." Why? So that he who reads it will run with it. And I've taught this to you before, but for the sake of the recording and anybody who hasn't heard this, in the Hebrew, the word for reading it means to speak it out loud. It doesn't mean like get a copy of the vision and just kind of read it. But it means to literally proclaim it. To call it in. Amen? Amen? And begin to proclaim some things in your life. Start to proclaim some things over your family. Amen? Over your ministry. Over this church's ministry. And to believe what God has. If we proclaim it, you'll begin to walk in it. I wish I could find the article. I can't find it. But it was totally secular. It was not Christian. It was not even spiritual, really. It actually was. I don't think the guy knew it. It was a corporate executive that was talking about as a trainer of other leaders in the corporate world and in the business world. This guy worked with a lot of people, and he came to one conclusion. He said people who wrote down their vision were much higher percentage of success because they wrote it down. But he said that there was this high percentage way above those that just wrote it down. And he said it was the guys and gals that every day of their life, they would look at their vision and proclaim it. They would literally stand in their mirror and proclaim and speak these things. I mean, when I read that, I kept looking for something about this guy's also an associate pastor at so-and-so church or something. And it was not a secular, it was a totally secular article. But the principle is the same, amen? If you proclaim it, you'll run with it. Amen? Let's be honest. How many, a lot of times, we say some careless things over our life and over our business and over our occupation. How about this? Over our spouse. Over our children. Over our finances. We say some careless things. And it's impacting us. But if we begin to speak from the point of Jubilee. Amen? The Tabernacles tonight, let's just call it what it is. It's a time of awakening. To what God has for us. A greater glory. Amen. Everybody say a greater glory. But the manifestation is truly in your mouth. You ever heard this? Well, you know, sometimes we're just silent witnesses. Well, the problem is, that would be like you called to the witness stand and you plead the fifth. You're not much of a witness. Are we supposed to bear fruit? Absolutely. We should be the most loving, kind, patient, gentle. Everybody with me? We should have self. All the fruit of the Spirit should be hanging on our tree. I totally get that. But he's called you to be more than nice. He's called you to be a testimony. He's called you to be a witness of his power. Amen? Hallelujah. Some of you aren't smiling anymore when I said that. I'm glad you're nice people, but open your mouth. Amen? Hallelujah. What did Isaiah say? How are they here unless somebody proclaims it? How beautiful on the feet, on the mountains are the feet of those who proclaim good news, who announce joy and peace and declare our God reigns. People haven't heard that. And that's our job to proclaim that. Amen? Hallelujah. Shout me down. Come on. We've got to proclaim our Jubilee. Hallelujah. The race is set before us, church. I believe that with all my heart. But I want to say again, if you weren't here last week, get last week's message, but I truly believe there's mantles of signs and wonders and miracles. I truly believe that. That didn't go to heaven with the man or woman of God. No more than it went to heaven with Elijah. And I believe we need to contend for it again, because I'm telling you, there's part of this generation, they're not going to be reached unless the gospel, as Paul said, is fully preached with signs and wonders and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what's going to get some of these people that have never heard, seen, or understand to come to faith. By the way, that's in Romans 15. Look it up. Okay? Another thing, though, I mentioned to you how the Ephesus church, if they did not return to their first love and their focus on Jesus, they were going to risk losing their lampstand. Remember that? A lampstand is the place where you shine your light from. And I'm telling you, in our culture today, let's be honest, much of the church is pulled out of places that we were intended to be shining. We were intended to be salt and to be light. Amen? Just think about areas that are fully dark now. I don't care if you're talking about education, or if you're talking about the marketplace, or if you're talking about, help me out, arts and entertainment, politics, the government. I mean, there's a lot of areas, I'm telling you, I believe God wants us to, part of our rising up is God says, I'm getting ready to give you a lampstand, a sphere of influence in a place that I haven't found anybody that's willing to shine there yet, and you're going to shine there. Amen. Amen? And again, how many are glad there's the cloud of witnesses? But who are they surrounding? They're surrounding those who are running the race. Right? They're surrounding those who are running the race that is set before them. So let's awaken, and let's arise, and let's shine. Amen? Hallelujah. The appointed times in the Lord's calendar. People ask me, why did God have them do this every year? We do everything in yearly cycles, do we not? Yeah, I think part of it is God likes for us to remember. He likes to stir our remembrance again, to believe again. We need these seasonal and yearly reminders to keep our heart on focus before God. And that's what I want to encourage you with today. That verse in Psalm 139, we didn't look at it, I was quoting it to you. When I awake, you are with me. And I kept thinking, now I know that means when I get up in the morning, God's there. Y'all with me? How many believe he's there? You may feel lousy, but he's there. Right? You may be dreading your day, but he's there. Okay, and that might change the way we act about our day if we really believe that. Right? We'd be aware of his presence. But let me say something. The Holy Spirit just kept pressing to my heart. It's not just when you physically wake up on a particular day and he's there. I heard the Lord say to me clearly, when you awaken your soul spiritually, when you wake up spiritually, I'm still there. Because what? I have never left you. Nor have I ever forsaken you. I promised you, church, I would be with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. And I think sometimes the Lord's wanting to get us to startle ourselves awake and go, the Lord's here. Right? The Lord's here. Not just in the morning, but just in your spiritual life. The Lord our God is with us, and he is mighty to save. If the Lord our God is with us, he's still a healer. He's still a provider. He's still a deliverer. Amen. Glory to God. But we're in a battle. Everybody knows we're in a battle. And increasingly, we become oppressed by the enemy if we don't understand the battle that we're in. Because he fights us, he resists us, it's clear. But Jesus promises to lead us in the triumph. And his redemption has redeemed us out of destruction. How many believe that? Not just that you won't go to hell when you die. He has delivered you out of destruction. I mean, he is so powerful in your life that he'll take anything in your life and work it together for good. And even when you go through times of suffering, and you will go through trouble, on the other side of that is a glory beyond comparison. Amen. God always wins if we stay in the race. Amen. And I was meditating on a verse in Jeremiah. Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 15. And I was meditating on this verse, and we know Jeremiah to be quite the prophet of God, but he also wrote a book called Lamentations, where he's doing a lot of lamenting. Are y'all with me? Hello? And I tell you, I think leaders tend to do that. You may think leaders are always on their A-game. We are not. We look at things, we look at everything from finances to people's hearts and conditions and what's going on in their lives, and it can be easy to become a lamenter. And you're like, Lord, you said we'd be without spot or wrinkle. You really need to get busy. Right, you know, and I'm talking to me too, okay? I'm looking at my own life and go, man, I don't measure up. Aren't you glad you don't have to measure up? Jesus measured up. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But Jeremiah, in this account, right, we don't have time to read the whole setup. But let me just set it up for you. Jeremiah is in a bad place. He's got a bad attitude. I know none of you ever have a bad attitude, but, you know, try to imagine what it's like. He was in despair. He was in self-pity. And he had no peace. Now here's when his despair was over. He had kept himself consecrated unto God. He had kept himself right with God. He loved the word of God, but the people weren't walking with God. And he became very bewildered over the condition of the people of God. Because he was called to be a prophet for the people of God. And here's what I want you to see. He described himself as being in perpetual pain. Have you ever felt like you're in perpetual pain? Amen? And then he also said, like a wound that won't heal. Like a wound that won't heal. Are you with me? And then he states his case before the Lord. So, I want you to look with me in Jeremiah 15. And I want to just put up verse 18. Oh, you've already got it up there. Okay. Wait for my cue there, brother. Verse 18, but what in 19? Okay. Verse 18. Everybody ready? Look what he says. Why has my pain been perpetual and my wound incurable and refusing to be healed? Will you indeed be to me like a deceptive stream with water that is unreliable? Now, how many of you know that takes some boldness to pray that? But how many of you know a lot of us have felt that at times?
Please.
Help me out. Okay? We've been there. Now, let me read it to you in the New Living Translation, just that verse. Look what he says. Why then does my suffering continue? It's one thing to suffer, but why does it continue? Why is my wound so incurable? Your help seems as uncertain as a seasonal brook, like a spring that has gone dry.
Wow.
Pretty strong, right? Now, let's look at verse 19. God's response. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I'm going to kill you. No. Thus says the Lord, how dare you? I'll be honest with you guys. I'm not saying do not fear the Lord, but I'm saying don't hide from God what you're feeling, because I tell you what, he can't work with people that won't open their heart up. Amen? Hello? When he pointed to Nathaniel and said, behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no guile or deceit. That man, 2 verses later, had said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You mean the Messiah is going to come out of Nazareth? No way. Not that side of the tracks, right? Are you with me? To that guy, Jesus said, there's a man that speaks what's in his heart. And he actually honored him for that. Isn't that cool? Now look at verse 19. Therefore says the Lord, if you return, then I will what? Say it. Restore you. Before me, you will stand, and if you, this is powerful, extract the precious from the worthless, then you will become my spokesman. Ah, there it is. They, for their part, they may turn to you, but as for you, you must not turn to them. Say with me, look at New Living Translation. If you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. Anybody want to keep serving you? If you speak good words rather than worthless ones, you will be my spokesman. Get this now. You must influence them, and do not let them influence you. I mean, I can't do anything about other people's words. Hello? Come on, guys. It's the information age. We are bombarded with media on every side. All kinds of words and all kinds of opinions. But you better know how to extract the good out of the worthless. Amen? Otherwise, you can't be a spokesman if you're double-minded and double-tongued. Amen? Fork and tongue. Hallelujah. We need to watch out. Jesus warned about leaven. The wrong kind of leaven. There's a leaven of the kingdom. But I tell you, I believe there's a couple of ways in Scripture, but I believe the leaven of words being spoken. But how about the leaven of the world's opinion on everything? I mean, that's out there. I mean, it's in your face. It's on Facebook. It's everywhere you turn. You're getting the leaven of the world. But sometimes it's common sense. It's common wisdom, but it's not God's. Hello? And then there's those political words on mine. Those are always edifying. Hello? And then we have, of course, religious words. Right? Well, my grandma said, and they quote something, and they quoted it so much that they think it's in the Bible, and it's not. You ever heard those phrases? I said, dude, that's not the Bible. But you've heard it so much from grandma and great-grandma and mama, and now your kids say it. Are you with me? Y'all okay? Don't get offended. Put your toes in. We're to extract the precious from the worthless. Amen? And you know what? You can't do that unless you have a great respect for the Word of God over everything else. You got to respect the Word of God above everything else. Amen? I don't care. I'm sorry. We all have our traditions, and we all have our background, and we all have our upbringing, but God's Word stands forever and doesn't change. Hallelujah! And you know, one of the hardest things, hear my heart when I say this, because we're in the business of helping hurt people. Hello? We're in the business of ministering to wounded people, are we not? That's what we're here for. But I'm going to tell you, you got to be careful of your words too. That can't influence you. You influence them. Amen? Is that to help you? Because leaders influence. Leaders influence others. If you're really a leader, you have influence on people's lives. And that's what it's about. Really, if you could define it in one word, it's influence. Leadership is influence. And we hear a lot of words from various sources. So what do we do? I think the Lord was saying to Jeremiah, come back to me. Repent. Amen? Get rid of your attitude. I don't like it. I don't like your pity parties. Amen? Hello, come on everybody. You're in despair? Get out of despair. What did David say? I would have despaired unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord because I'm in the land of the living. That attitude kept him from me. Everybody has an opportunity to live in despair and pity, but it's a sin against God. Okay? But the second thing is begin to speak His words. And when you start to do that, you'll be His spokesman. You'll be His prophet. You'll be His pastor. You'll be His teacher. Amen? You'll be His witness to others. You'll be His testimony in somebody else's ears, and faith will come, and their breakthrough will come, and the Word of God will work again. Because the Word of God is living and active. But it's not in the pages of your Bible and your coffee table. It's in your mouth. When the Master comes on that big white horse, there's a sword coming out of His mouth. And it's the Word of God. Amen? He didn't come to throw books at people. He spoke the Word of God. Lord, give us your word. And all of a sudden, a big Bible falls on us. And I love the Bible. And I love the book. Amen? But man, it's not. Yeah, King James came and threw it right on top of me. Glory be to God. We always have to edit our videos. But anyway, it's because of Omar. Okay, let me get to this place and then I need to find a way to wrap this up somehow. People say, well, what is the wound? I think most of the time we're talking about a soulless wound. We're talking about the wound of the heart, are we not? Come on. But I think it can be a fleshly wound, too. It can be something in our lives that just won't heal, that kind of a thing. And I've been there on both sides. Anybody with me? I'm not looking down upon any of you that are going through something right now. What is he speaking to? Get this now. I heard the Holy Spirit say this. He's speaking about the unresolved things that should be resolved. I mean, if you had a wound that won't heal, why are you upset about it? You're upset because it shouldn't be not healed by now. Right? Whether it be a hurt, an offense, and we've all got them, right? And the same thing physically. If you had a sore that would never heal, a lot of times people that have diabetes, they really struggle because when they have a lot of trouble and they're feeding things, these things won't heal. They won't heal. It's a wound that will not heal. And how many know that's a problem? Hello? Because what happens when I'm wounded? That gets all my attention.
That's right.
It actually becomes my identity. Are y'all staying with me now? I got good news today. Hallelujah. Got really good news. Because God wants to heal those places in our hearts. Amen? Hallelujah. I believe He's healing some perpetual wounds. And I believe with all of my heart, those things that won't heal. If we will awaken our souls. If we will awaken and allow a divine reset to take place. Sometimes I pray for people and they'll tell me, well, let's just talk about something physical again. They'll say that they just kept deteriorating and kept deteriorating. Or maybe they were showing me, my marriage has just gotten worse and worse and worse. And I look back, it's like a perpetual pain or a wound. You can apply it to anything. But what I've told them sometimes, and the Spirit will tell me this many, many times, I say, well, we're drawing a line in the sand today. This has been degenerating, but we can really declare a regeneration. We're getting ready to declare a turnaround in the name of Jesus. And that's what the blast of the trumpet meant in Jubilee. Reset! I'm no longer going the way of degeneration. I'm going the way of regeneration in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Whether that be physical, emotional, in my marriage, in my family, in my children, we're turning the corner. We're tired of walking this pathway. Because the longer I walk down that pathway, I'm just full of self-pity and despair. Then I talk to God about how consecrated I am. And then the Lord rebukes me. It says, but you don't know how to extract the precious from the worthless. Hallelujah. Let's proclaim a new season. Amen. Let's proclaim a new day for our church, for our families, for our marriages. How about our children? Anybody with me? In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But we got to know how to repent. Think about this for just a moment. And I said this so much lately. I'm trying to be redundant, but I found that you just can't hear some things enough because we forget. But we are blessed with Abraham's blessing. Abraham is the father of our faith. And the race we're called to run is to be a dynamic race of overcoming victory. Amen? And going through every battle to the victory. Amen? Some of us get mad because there's a battle. Hello? Well, how does your triumph if you're not a battle? Amen? Be like if you're on a ball team and there's no schedule to play anybody. You just work out all the time. What's the fun in that, really, in all honesty? I'm not saying fighting the battle is fun, but I'm guaranteed to win if I fight the good fight. Hallelujah. Now, so God has a plan for you. It's called favor. When the hand of the Lord on you, it's favor. Amen? You're favored. You're favored with God. I mean, that's cool. But most people don't understand that favor is also with man. You have favor with the governing authorities over your life. And every one of us have them. Whether it be on the job or at school, in our government. Did you know, whether you agree or disagree with somebody and they're over you in authority, you have favor in your life as a child of God. Amen? And that favor shows forth. Hallelujah? Some people have lost their authority because you showed up on that job. Not because you have an agenda. It was just there's a favored man there now, so I've got to get somebody else in there. Are you with me? I want to share with you a short psalm on the favor of God. It's actually written, most Bibles are going to say, a thanksgiving for the Lord's favor. Are y'all ready? I've never really taught from this that much. I go to it every once in a while, but it's not one I hear taught a lot. But it's a powerful psalm, and make note of it for your prayer time. It's Psalm 138. And I want to go through this with you quickly with you, 8 verses, and then we're going to pray this morning. Are you ready? Psalm 138. Let's look at the first 2 verses. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. Now that means before the angels. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. Y'all see that? His word is magnified along with his name. Word represents what? Truth. His name represents the character and nature and ways of God. His name describes who he is. His word declares his truth. And he exalts them equally. Do y'all see that? Very important. With all the passion of my heart, I'm going to offer the sacrifice of praise. And in worship, God wants you to experience his love, and he wants you to experience his truth. Am I still with me? Can I tell you something? The bold sacrifice of praise, say with me, and humble worship of spirit and truth is really the only way to repent. It's really the only way to truly repent. And you really can't repent without it. Hello? Because again, when you open your mouth, something changes when you come to God in this way. Amen? That's where repentance starts. And I say this because I've done it too, so I'm not speaking down to anyone. But tears of sorrow will not lead you to repentance. You can seek, the Bible says you can seek repentance with tears and not find it. You can be so sad about your condition. But until you take a stand and believe God and begin to worship him and praise him and make a turnaround, that's what counts. It's not about how mad you can cry, about how pitiful your situation is. And it breaks my heart sometimes. I minister at altar calls and stuff, especially in meetings and various things like camp meetings, outreaches, and stuff like that. And people, all they want to do the whole time is cry. And I realize, I've got to get you. I'm sorry you're sad, but the Lord wants to turn this. And I tell you, repentance begins with praise and worship. Okay? Y'all receive that? Receive that. Don't get mad. Receive it. Don't cry. Receive it. Okay? I heard somebody say, the Lord meets all of my needs. He does, if you're in faith. Because if God just met needs, hear me out. If God just met needs, then everybody's needs are met.
That's right.
But he's moved by faith. You have to believe him. Amen? He cares about your need, but he's already made every sacrifice for your need to be met. Amen? And so it takes our faith to pull on that. Because if it's just about needs, then whammo, the world's saved. Everybody's needs are met. But that's not how it works in the kingdom, okay? How many of you know that's not how it works in the real world either? Hallelujah, come on. Okay, I got to keep going. Verse 3. There's only 8 verses. Y'all ready? Verse 3. On the day I call. Everybody say, the day I call. Have you called? Have you called? Now, a lot of people like to ask me to call God for them. Hello? And I will, because I love you. And it's better if you'll call. Amen? The day I called, you answered me. And you made me, I love this, bold with strength in my soul. Isn't that good? Remember when the angel spoke to Daniel after 21 days of prayer and fasting? Remember that? The angel shows up 21 days later. You know, we're the 21-minute people, right? We want to pray 21 minutes and he shows up. Not 21 days. And you know what you know what the angel said? He said, from the first day. Everybody say, first day. That you set your heart, you reset your heart to seek this thing. I came according to your words. Woo! Some of you today, things are going to start moving. You may not notice it this afternoon. You may not notice it for 21 days. But things are going to shift if you'll open your mouth today. Amen? Hallelujah. Get this into passion. You strengthened me deeper than my soul and breathed fresh courage into me. Anybody want some fresh courage? Man, I do. Hallelujah. If you're home today, take some fresh courage. Hallelujah. Verse 4. You ready? Listen to verse 4 and 5. Interesting, these verses. Listen to this. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth. And they will sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I always thought, well, Lord, what does this have to do with me? Well, one day, if I say one day, all the kings and all the rulers of the earth will acknowledge him as Lord. But, beloved, it's going to happen. There's a day coming, it says in Revelation, when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and King. For he is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Amen? And it's going to take place. And I believe in the middle of this psalm about favor of God being upon my life, God reminding us of something. Jesus wins. Amen? He gets what he paid for. Hallelujah! The nations! Hallelujah! He doesn't just win, he has won. And I think that's why that's in there. So remind us of something. No matter how many know right now, if you just look at the world, even our nation, and just look at things, you go, man, it's just like we're worse than we've ever been. Everybody's at each other's throat. Everybody misunderstands everybody. And there's so much hatred. Hello? There's so much venom. And I'm like, boy, I'm with you. I thought I heard it all back in the day when I was younger. Boy, this takes the cake. But can I tell you something? I can't so focus on. I don't understand something. Jesus is going to give his prize. Amen? This is all going to turn around in a twinkling of an eye. Amen? I believe that's what this is reminding us of, to keep our eyes on the ball. Our Lord is Lord of all. Amen? He has won the victory. Come on, say hallelujah. Okay, verse 6. For though the Lord is exalted, now get this, yet, let us say yet. Come on now. He regards what? The lowly. But the haughty, he knows them, but he knows them how? From afar. The prideful, that means he doesn't know them. He knows them. God knows everything. Are y'all with him? But he knows them from afar. And all you from the south, I'm not talking about a fire. Okay. God knows me from afar. I'm sorry. That's an old joke that I recycled and I shouldn't have done it. But anyway, but Rick Lane enjoys it. So he know, what, there's a New Testament verse for that. It says in James, what? God is opposed to the proud, but he gives what? Grace, favor to the humble. Hallelujah. What a reminder we need, amen? Even in battle, we've got to be humble. Because the battle is the Lord's. All he's asking me is to obey. Open my mouth, stand, and see the salvation of the Lord. Verse 7. though I walk in the midst of trouble. Now, how many of you wish that verse said this? Because I'm running the race, there will never be any trouble. How many of you wish it said that? Thank you, boy. Don't you wish it said that? And I've heard some faith teachings that that's what they're about saying. But if you walk by faith, you're just going to walk on the clouds. No. Please. I got a lot of verses you need to explain to me. Hello? Now, I'm not here to glorify the enemy either, though. Because we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus. And though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will, come on, revive me. Hallelujah. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies. Hallelujah. Listen to the passion in that one. By your mighty power, I can walk through any devastation. And you will keep me alive, reviving me, for your power sets me free from the hatred of my enemies. Yeah, that's the part I notice more than ever. The culture has gone violent for quite a while. But have you noticed the hatred is ramped up? But, hello? The hatred is ramped up. Not only is it violent culture, but the hatred. I don't see anything like it. Nobody can even reason because of hatred. And if you hate, Jesus said, you're guilty of murder. People say, well, I just wish it would have been easier to stick with the law. Let me tell you, Jesus took it to a whole other level. Amen? He took it to a whole, it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. Hallelujah. Where was that? Okay, verse 8, final verse. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Everybody say that. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. How many of you believe what you just said? Amen. He's faithful. Amen. Amen. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Again, the passion. Listen. You keep every promise you've ever made to me. Hallelujah. Since your love for me is constant and endless, I ask you, Lord, finish every good thing you have begun. How many of you, he's faithful? He's faithful to finish every good work that he has begun in us. Hallelujah. Do I receive that today? Stand up. Come on, we're going to do a reset. Come on, stand up. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Verge, can you come get on the keys? Everybody stand up. Come on. Get on your feet. I want you to open your mouth. And I don't want you to be timid. I want you to see your mouth like a trumpet. Are y'all ready? No mealy mouth confessions right now. You ready? Hallelujah. I want you to part my hair with volume. Are you ready? Come on, say it with me. Let me find it. Say it with me. This day, O Lord.
This day, O Lord.
I choose to arise.
I choose to arise.
I will give you thanks.
I will give you thanks.
With all of my heart.
All of my heart.
I bow my heart towards you.
I bow my heart towards you.
In humble, loving worship. And adoration. I believe that what you have begun in me, you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. I proclaim jubilee. The kingdom is here. Freedom from all captivity. My victory is in Jesus, my Redeemer. Awake my soul. Awake my soul. Arise and shine. For your light has come. Now let's pray together. Help me, Lord, to make the most of my time. For these are evil days. Help me, Holy Spirit, to understand the will of the Lord for me. And for my family. Fill me, Holy Spirit, as I sing and make melody in my heart unto the Lord. I declare a year of jubilee. Jesus, my jubilee has come. And I am blessed to be a blessing. A divine reset is taking place in my life, in my family, in my church, from this day forward. Now lift up your hands. Refresh me, O Lord. Restore me. Renew me. for your glory, that I may faithfully run the race that is set before me. Jesus, you are my Lord. I focus on you. I return to my first love and focus on you. For you are the author and you are the finisher of my faith. And today, I declare I am favored by God. Now just begin to pray and worship the Lord right now. Come on, lift up those hands again. And just begin to adore the Lord right now in your worship. Hallelujah. Can you go to G where that song was? Let's sing that song. We bow our hearts.
We bow our hearts. We bend our knees.
Can you bring that song up?
Holy Spirit, come make us whole.
That's the words, I think. Can we bring it up? Hold on, my God. We'll sing it again. The Holy Spirit did not leave because we had that. There we go. Let's sing together.
We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Holy Spirit, come make us humble. Turn our eyes from evil things. Lord, we cast down our idols and give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. So give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks and seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks and seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob.
Give us clean hands.
So give us clean hands.
Every voice.
Give us clean hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. And give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks and seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks and seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob.
Thank you, Jesus. I declare over you today an awakening in God. A new day. The head of a new year, a new cycle of blessings and favor. I declare over you today your jubilee. He's here. He's within you by the Holy Spirit. And I bless you today with the ability to not only awaken, but to stay awake. And to be willing to run the race that is set before you. I come against the spirit of fear. I come against the memories of failure. When you felt like you didn't measure up and you didn't follow through and you didn't finish. But I say to you today, you're not your own finisher. Hear me, beloved. Jesus is your finisher. He's your authorizer of faith. And he's authorizing us in this hour to believe like never before. And as you research your inheritance and your heritage, I hear the Lord say, I'm going to stir your heart for things that hasn't been seen in generations. But some of you are going to get stirred about mantles that have been lying dormant. And the Lord says, I'm going to move upon your heart to pick them up again and to believe. For I will receive my harvest, says the Lord. For I will receive my harvest, says the Lord. For it is my harvest. And I'm calling you in this hour to be my faithful laborer. I'm blessing you with eyes to see the potential harvest that's in your peripheral, that's in front of you, that's even behind you, says the Lord. I'm going to cause you to look upon your generation differently, says the Lord. For I'm calling you to see the potential of harvest, to see prodigal sons and daughters coming home and to run and embrace them with my love, says the Lord. And they shall return, says the Lord. For now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. I brought you into my kingdom for such a time as this, says the Lord. Do not fear. Be bold. Be strong. Rise up. Take a stand, says the Lord. Extract the precious truth from the worthless, says the Lord. And be my spokesman. Be my testimony, says the Lord. Be my witness. For I am with you always. Even in trouble, says the Lord, I'm bringing you through and I'm bringing you out to a greater glory. For you are my sons and my daughters, says the Lord. The sons and daughters of the Lord. And as the word of God says, all of creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Hallelujah. So I bless you this day with a courage and a faith. And I bless you with endurance. And I need endurance. I bless you with endurance in the name of Jesus. To not just run a quick dash, but to run this thing until the day of the Lord shall come. Amen? Amen. I bless you with that today in the name of Jesus. I felt earlier today that the Lord wanted to do something special. And this is going to require us to be, we're all family. I'm looking in this room. We're all family here, okay? None of you here are outsiders. We all love the Lord. We all love one another. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We agree? Amen? And but I felt like the Lord said today that he wanted to heal the place of perpetual pain. And that he wanted to heal that which seems to be incurable. That wound that just won't heal. The Lord wants to heal it today. And it'll be one of the things that will help if we could all just close our eyes and just wait before the Lord, just in peace right now, in the rest of God. It's going to be quite useful, so I've asked some other leaders to help me. I want to pray for you. I want others to be able to pray for you. But I believe there's anointing today to heal those places. And I just want to declare to you today, the turnaround is now. Your injured heart, I declare, is healed in the name of Jesus. The place of pain. Even for some of you, it's a physical torment. And I hear the Lord say, today is your turnaround in the name of Jesus. For Jesus is your healer. And by his stripes, you were and you are healed. And I'd like to ask you to do this. It will really help us to minister to you and pray for you right now. We don't really have an altar at this church that's very big to do this. But I'd like to ask you to do this and everybody to respect as we clear out of the room today. But you just got a place that this seems to never heal. It's an ongoing thing. Physically, emotionally, in your soul, in your heart. You got a wound. Would you just lift your hands up like this before the Lord? Just raise them up. Not above your head. You can't hold them there that long. But just kind of extend them out for prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Just extend them out in front of you as though just receiving a gift right now. Let's just respect the presence of the Holy Spirit right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Release your healing over hearts and lives right now. Healing, come. Go deep, Lord, with your anointing, I pray. Bring healing to every heart. Now, this is something you don't really need a touch for right now. But if you do, please just extend your hands out. So we want to come to you right now. I'm going to ask you to come down front. I'm just going to ask you if you would just extend those hands out. Others, if you would, if this is an area where you know the Lord wants to use you right now, would you just go to them right now? Just begin to pray over them in the love of God. Over here in the second row, you start to move about if you could, guys. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Back there in the back in the corner. Can somebody go? Oh, yeah, there you go. Thank you. Jesus, Jesus. If I didn't identify you, would you wave at me just so I can get somebody over to you? Okay, right here. Yeah, okay. Bill, somebody come to Bill. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Come on, let him heal the wounds. Let him heal the places. Just let him do a work right now. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit. If you need to tell them, it would be helpful. Don't give them a life story. Just tell them what it is so they can target it. If it's any particular thing, just ask. Maybe physical, it might be soulish. Of the spiritual realm, just tell them really quick what it is so they can go and nail it right now under the anointing. Hallelujah. Those of you watching the video,